The Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio keeps you informed with recorded podcast coverage of the 2020 Candidates Forum for the Board of Supervisors District 2 race. The forum was recorded Tuesday evening, February 11th, at the IID Auditorium in El Centro. Podcast coverage is underwritten by CoLab of Imperial County and the IV Veg Growers. We take you now to moderator David Cañas.
Good evening, and thank you for attending tonight's Imperial County Board of Supervisors Candidate Forum, sponsored by the Coalition of Labor, Agriculture, and Business, or as we know it, CoLab. This is the forum for the election on March 3rd, 2020 for the Imperial County Board of Supervisors District 2. With only two candidates, the one with the most votes will be declared the elected supervisor. My name is David Cañas, and I will be the moderator this evening. My timekeeper across from me is Ms. Maggie Magallanes. As a trade association, we decided to make a concerted effort to educate our members of the candidates for office in order to provide them with the best possible information with which to make their personal decision in this elected process. I would like to recognize the candidates for office in attendance this evening for County Supervisor District 2, Ms. Claudia Camarenas, Mr. Luis Blancarte. The format for this evening's forum is as follows. Each candidate will have 3 minutes for an opening statement to review their qualifications, thoughts, and major platform items. There will be three questions asked by myself, the moderator, pertaining to the issues for each of the elected office. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for a closing statement. Myself, the moderator, and my timekeeper will hold the candidates to their allotted time periods by utilizing a timer, which is sitting across from me, with a card system, or we're using lights. The light signal will show the amount of time left. When it goes green, there's 30 seconds left. When it goes yellow, there's 10 seconds. The red light will come on right at 2 minutes, and that will show that the time has expired. I will use just my time. I don't have a gavel, and we'll cut the candidate off within 5 seconds to save on time. Questions from the audience will be asked as time permits at the end of the forum and prior to the closing statements. The forms for the questions are in the back room, those of you that have not seen them. Once you complete your written questions, please provide them to Ms. Kate Pricola. The question must be directly related to the responsibilities of the IID Board of Directors, responsibility of the Board of Supervisors, or the experience of the candidate. No personal attacks will be allowed. So thank you for being here tonight, and we will start with Ms. Camarena, and your opening statement, please.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Claudia Camarena, candidate for Board of Supervisor District 2. I'd like to begin with my experience. I am a retired county program manager. My career with the county began in 1989 and spanned through March of 2019 when I retired as a member of management. I supervise and manage federal, state, and local programs, ensuring that all mandates were met and that there were no cuts regarding not being able to meet performance improvement plans and so forth. My expertise lies in assessment, reorganization and consolidation of positions and department sections for cost-saving purposes. I represented Imperial County for 7 years in Sacramento as a subject matter expert, alongside analysts and advocates. I manage the Special Investigations Unit in the Social Services for welfare fraud and have been a part of the Homeless Task Force, Continuum of Care, and a youth leader in my church. I'd like to start by stating some of the information that was missing during the State of the County address last week, and that was the over $20 million that we are in debt as of December 2019. It's very difficult for me to see a director of child support services given a $2,000 a month increase, while our public safety officers have been continuously requesting pay raises and so forth for the life-threatening activities that they perform. I'd also like to state that it failed to directly address the homelessness in our county. I know that Mr. Pancarte did state during the Ivy Press that, he was happy that we were having affordable housing and that the border gets longer and longer to cross. However, that housing is for residents of Imperial County and not Mexico. It also failed to identify how the county is violating the county ordinance by hiring individuals in Mexico who reside in Mexico instead of qualified county residents. And that is something that we need to look at, because that is continuing to affect our poverty rates. It's very important that the individual who holds this position has a working knowledge of how the county functions. It's obvious at this time that is lacking at this moment. We need to be able to go in and make the hard decisions and not continue to approve pay raises for individuals that are being compared to Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino County. CEO's office salaries right now are close to $1 million alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Camarena. Mr. Plancarte, 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Number one, I want to welcome everybody who came out this evening. It is very encouraging always to see when the community is involved and interested in what's going on. My name is Luis Plancarte. I currently serve as supervisor for District 2, and I also serve as the chairman of the board. A little bit about personal history. My wife, Martha, my children, we live here in El Centro. We've lived in the boundaries of District 2, which is a district I represent, for close to 30 years now. We've dedicated our time to raising family and to working in our community. I've been committed to serving our community for almost 40 years now, going back to my youth. You know, it's something that was instilled in me by my parents. And today, 40 years later, I continue to serve as an elected supervisor. I serve in my church and various community building organizations. I hold a bachelor's degree in business management and different certifications in human resources, adult education, emotional intelligence, personal development, as well as financial investment and retirement fund training. I am here because I want to continue to serve the people of Imperial County, specifically District 2, and because my commitment and dedication to progress continues. It will not stop. You know, I'm very lucky to work for a company which really allows all its employees to be involved in the community, whether not only allows it, but they encourage it. Whether you want to coach Little League or you want to serve on a board or you want to participate in a cleanup, I'm very happy to say that I work for a company whose owners are mature enough to let the employees do that. I am here because I'm here to ask for your vote on March 3rd, and I want to continue to serve as your supervisor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Plancarte. We'll now start with the questions. The first one, and we'll start with Mr. Plancarte first. The question is, in recent months, the county of Imperial declared an emergency for Salton Sea and for the New River. The state of California has responded with a promise of $220 million to be included in bond on the November ballot for the Salton Sea 10-year management plan. While this, if approved by the voters in the state of California, will make whole the financial needs for the Salton Sea, real action is needed. Please state what you are prepared to support to address the Salton Sea. 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Well, as you know, yes, we voted unanimously to declare a state of health emergency on the Salton Sea. This in order to allow for the state of California to move faster. The idea came from here. For the last 30 years or so, everything that's been tried to be done in the Salton Sea has been slowed down because it's either being studied, it needs permits for environmental, wildlife, and so on, engineering. If we take a look at some of the fires that have happened around the state, in order to be able to rebuild faster and put some of those studies on a streamlined basis, the state of California has used the states of emergency. And it is for that reason that as a board of supervisors, we declared a state of emergency both in the Salton Sea and in the New River, which is where some of the affluent, some of the fluids are coming in to the Salton Sea as well. With that, our hope is that it will help to remove handcuffs or limitations from the state of California. And in reality, all the excuses that they have used of studies to not get the work done. But the work not only is being done at the state level. At the end of March, myself, along with county personnel, will be traveling to Washington, D.C., where we will go to the Capitol offices and we will meet one-on-one with the legislators and regulators to get them to commit those dollars, which should have been committed some time ago. Because the international border, the New River, is a federal issue as well, and we plan on tackling both. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCarthy. Ms. Camarena, would you like me to repeat the question?
Yes, please.
In recent months, the County of Imperial declared an emergency for the Salton Sea and for the New River. The state of California has responded with a promise of $220 million to be included in the bond on the November ballot for the Salton Sea 10-year management plan. While this, if approved by the voters in the state of California, will make whole the financial needs for the Salton Sea, real action is needed. Please state what you are prepared to support the address and address the Salton Sea.
Okay. The first thing I would do is I would review the contract of our lobbyists. Currently, the lobbyists that we're paying on the federal and state level, along with our intergovernmental director here in the county, is over $25,000. And if they're not doing their job, then something needs to be reviewed there. Second thing that I would do is that I would definitely begin to look at the federal portions of the Salton Sea to ensure that the federal government is also seeing that they are to be held accountable and are also responsible, because there's the local government, there's part of the land that's state, and there is small parts that are federal. And unless we can get them on board to also show that responsibility belongs to them, we will not get anything else. Also, we have the water order that was approved regarding Salton Sea. I don't know where we're at this. I've been studying, but it says also that we're supposed to be having year after year some type of habitat and dust suppressions being conducted by the federal government, well, the state and the county, and I'd like to see where we're at regarding that. Those are things that a full-time, hands-on board of supervisor needs to be on board for, to be able to look, research, and be able to attend these meetings. Going to Washington, based on the lobby contract I saw, it just guarantees the meeting with the person. It's something that's done every year. And this is something not out of the norm. You'll see that every year they go meet people that they can meet here in San Diego, which also contributes to waste of taxpayer dollars and our time. This is urgent. We need to get bold. I am not afraid to be able to bring out the facts, hold people accountable that are being paid high amounts of salary with no type of results being given, and if so, delayed results.
Thank you, Ms. Camarena. Our next question, and we'll start with Ms. Camarena first. The County of Imperial is approaching another budget cycle. Last year, the general fund budget was a struggle to budget. This year, the employees will receive another 2.2% increase. What are your recommendations to achieve a balanced fund for 2021? Ms. Camarena, 2 minutes.
As I stated in my opening statement, right now we are over $20 million in the red for that general fund. And me looking as much as I can and studying the budget as it is right now, there are numerous areas that need to be reviewed and taken away. We have allocated over $1 million extra for outside county council, when we already have a county council that was just reorged and given a raise. We have the CEO's office, who continues to create positions that are equivalent to positions in Orange County, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, and yet we do not have the cost of living that these counties have, nor do we have the population or responsibility that these counties have. So I would immediately begin to review salaries paid by the general fund, beginning in the CEO's office, for a consolidation of positions, and be able to look to see where else we can draw funds. There are incentive monies in the DA's office that have not been touched for years, nor have they been drawn down. And those incentive monies are coming from the disqualification hearings, from fraud, from other incentives that the state gives our county money to fund more positions, and this county has failed to respond to the county's request for more positions in the DA's office when they could easily assess these monies and be able to make a difference. But at this time, this budget is just it's a smokescreen.
Thank you, Ms. Camarena. Mr. Blancarte, the same question. Would you like to be repeated?
Could you please repeat it?
The County of Imperial is approaching another budget cycle. Last year, the general fund budget was a struggle to budget. This year, the employees will receive another 2.2% increase. What are your recommendations to achieve a balanced fund for 2021?
Thank you. Well, first, there's a lot of numbers being thrown around, and I would like all of you to visit the website called Transparent California. There you can look at the salary for every supervisor in the state of California, every CEO, every employee that is at that level. It is right there. You can run it by county, by job, and compare some of the figures that are being cited to you today. You'll find out that that is not the case. Number two, $20 million debt. You know, there are two parts to the county budget. There is the general fund, which we run general services with, and then there's the other fund, which the county basically serves as a contractor for social services, behavioral health, and other departments. Those are departments where we are doing the job for the person who pays for it, the department who pays for it. For that reason, we have to deliver the services the way that they wish and hire us to deliver it. When it comes to the general fund, that is where we use to pay some of the services while we get reimbursed. So yes, there will be times where you will see that there's a $20 million difference, but that is because the payment is on the way. At the end of the year, that balances. The employees receiving 2.2 pay, yes, they are, and they will receive a 2.2 pay increase next year and the following year. The cost of living continues to go up, and the only way that we can retain and attract a well-experienced and trained workforce is by paying them what they deserve. Do they get what people get in other counties? No. Also, county employees earn less than what you would be paid out in public, in a private employer, I should say. They are actually performing the job and putting in the hours at a discount. Transparent California, check the numbers for yourself, and that will show you where the
Thank
numbers
you, Mr.
really
Blancarte.
Are. Thank you.
We'll now go on to question number three. County roads maintenance has started with the funding from the new state-imposed gas tax. Bridges, however, are failing with several closed. What do you see as a solution for this continuing and growing issue? Mr. Blancarte first. 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, sir. So, as you know, California is one of 58 counties in the state. And as one of the counties, there was a time when all you had to do was tell the state, I want to build a road, and you would build that road, and the state was funding road construction left and right, bridges everywhere. As time went on and those dollars became available, became no longer available, they stopped creating those roads or giving money for those roads. Imperial County ended up number 9th in the 58 counties with the highest amount of roads. But today we are 38 in the amount of money that we receive to maintain and service those roads. So it requires a lot of planning, a lot of critical thinking, which roads are really being used and are needed, and which can have deferred maintenance. With the new tax that's coming in, we are creating plans throughout the community and doing priorities. Just last year in Heber, we paved about 3.6 miles of roads that had not been resurfaced or maintained since 1972 or so. There is a plan. There is a list by which we are working, and we will work little by little to improve transportation in our community, especially in those roads that are being used the most. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blancarte. Ms. Camarena, the same question. Would you like me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
County roads maintenance has started with the funding from the new state-imposed gas tax. Bridges, however, are failing with several closed. What do you see as a solution to this continuing and growing issue? 2 minutes.
I think that at this point, what I would do from the outside coming in would gather some individuals and so forth to see, first of all, to make sure that bridges and roads leading outside Imperial County are looked at first for safety purposes. In the event of a big emergency and so forth, we want to make sure that our roads, especially for people in the rural areas, are accessible and are able to maintain any type of emergency that goes through. And so basically what I would do is I would research which are the most in need and speak to individuals and go from there.
Thank you, Ms. Camarena. That concludes our three questions today. We're now going to take some questions we have from the audience and some that were sent in to us. This first one is for Mrs. Camarena only. And it says, you were understood to say at the IVC candidate forum equating the County of Imperial CEO salary to be the same as the County of Los Angeles CEO. The Los Angeles County CEO makes $628,333 to include benefits. The Imperial County CEO salary is about 62% less than that and 12% less than the former Imperial County CEO. Please advise your source of information and why you targeted this salary as part of your campaign. 2 minutes.
Okay. Yes, that was an article from 2016, and I did give the wrong number because it said at that point that the Imperial County CEO position was identified as the highest paid employee in the poorest county, and the actual numbers were $286,000 over, including benefits. And the next one that came in after that CEO position was the individual from San Francisco County. So that was from, and I did meet with the CEO to share that with him that next Monday, and I gave him the same information, and I'm looking for the article because I have it here. And I want to say it was the Capital Resource, but I can provide that to anybody who would like to see it. It was documented.
I would like
to see
it. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Camarena. Our next question. The loan to Pacific Land from the Community Benefits Fund continues to be in the news. What is your position on future loans to help bring jobs here? And we'll start with Mr. Plancarte. 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, sir. So the loan program that Imperial County operates right now is primarily funded through development that is done by the solar power, the electrical generation industry, by which they contribute to money which can be used for economic development to try to create some jobs for those jobs that have been displaced by that farmland not being farmed for the next 20, 25 years. As long as those panels will be there. Originally, when the concept was done, and that was by my predecessors, they were trying to find a way to motivate or incentivize economic development. So they came up with a program by which they could make loans to industry coming into the county. As the loans were being made, some have been very successful. Some, like any lending institution or any lending organization, did not perform as expected. Pacific Land is one of those. It should note that, Pacific Land did receive a loan for $2 million, but they put more than $15 million worth of collateral to secure that money, which is in receivership to do that today. But there are success stories, such as the Brawley Beef Plant, One World Beef. That was a plant that had to close, and as such, lost about 900 employees, lost their jobs. With a loan, which they have been making payments on time, they continue to grow their workforce, they continue to hire people, and they continue to grow. Doc's Organics is another new business which, received a loan. They are making their payments. The Bowling Alley is another one. So I can go on naming all different successfuls, but will sometimes fail. Yeah, sometimes they will take longer to collect the money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Plancarte. Ms. Camarena, same question. Would you like me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
The loan to Pacific Land from the Community Benefits Fund continues to be in the news. What is your position on future loans to help bring jobs here? 2 minutes.
Okay. I think that there should be maybe more individuals that have the knowledge as far as the being able to loan and what the percentages of getting something back. I know that at this point, there is the number that he stated as being saying that it's secured. However, when I look at the reports in the newspaper and so forth, it says that we may not even get our money back because there's so many creditors in line before us. I would approach very cautiously. It's very vital to bring jobs. I understand that, but I believe also that a risk in this county, as poor as we are, needs to be taken. Those type of decisions need to be made very carefully.
Thank you, Ms. Camarena. Our next question, this one is for Mr. Plancarte. Sir, you received financial support from the unions in 2016. Are you endorsed by them or receiving financial support this time?
So in 2016, I did receive endorsement from several unions, as it is the case again this time around. Now, do I receive any financial support from them? No, I do not. So let me start by saying that one of the unions that that I have the support from is the Labor Council. Labor Council is an affiliation of about 135 union groups throughout Imperial and San Diego County. They are working families. There are the trades, the plumbers, electricians, construction workers, people very much in many cases like my parents, first generation monolingual immigrants who came to this country. I am also endorsed by the In-Home Health Supportive Services. This is about a group of about 5,000 employees in Imperial County who do home care to make sure that those people who are sick can stay and live in their homes through their sickness. I also received an endorsement from the Imperial Valley Social Justice Committee. This is the committee who recently put together the event at IVC. These are all organizations that are very involved. They do their homework. They have lots of members. And yes, they do support me. They endorse me. There is other labor organizations also involved, but I have not taken any money from them or any donations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question is for Ms. Camarena. As a former county employee, were you a member of a union? Are you receiving financial support from any of the unions?
I was a member of a management bargaining unit. I participated on that and on the supervisor management bargaining unit with the county. And no, I'm not receiving any funding from any type of bargaining unit or anything.
Thank you, Ms. Camarena. Our next question, this is for both candidates. Please explain your stance on the effort to bring the certified unified program agencies under the management of the county. And we'll start with Mr. Plancarte. 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, sir. So this is known as the CUPA initiative. And right now the way it works is there is a series of inspections, different inspections that have to be done at different businesses. The CUPA Certified Unified Program, what they did is they kind of bundle these groups, and they have state inspectors doing these inspections at the businesses. These are businesses at which our county fire, our county health department, are already air district, are already doing inspections there on a regular basis. Part of the program is when somebody is not meeting the law and they are fined, that money is the money that comes in from the fines is supposed to be used for training businesses and educating them on what they how they can be safer in their reporting. That was not happening. The money was just growing in the state coffers. So as a result, through the county, we are in the process of petitioning the state to allow our own entities here in Imperial County to do those inspections while they are already walking into these businesses and so that we can use any money from any fines that are that come about, so we can use those monies to train those businesses so that they continue to have safer environments where their employees can work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mulacarte. Ms. Camarena, the same question. Would you like me to repeat it?
No. I just wanted to state that I'm not privy to a lot of the information at this time, but once reading it and so forth, I'm sure that I would make a decision that would be in the best interest of business owners and customers and the Valley. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Camarena. That concludes all the questions we have for this evening. We're not going to go to the closing statements. You each have 2 minutes, and we'll start with Mr. Plancarte.
Thank you, sir. Well, I am here because I wish to continue to serve for another term. Serving the needs of Imperial County residents, it's not easy. It takes a lot of time, a lot of dedication, a lot of education, a lot of research. Sometimes it at face value, some of the things look like they are easy to solve, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of collaboration, and it takes somebody who is able to walk in and do consensus building and ask those right questions instead of walking in and just accusing. No business can get done that way. I put a lot of effort into my service. I probably put somewhere between 60 and 70 hours every week, and that includes Saturdays and Sundays and after hours and days like today. And I am here to ask for your vote so that I may continue to serve for another 4 years starting 2021. Once again, thank you for coming out. And after this event is over, I'd be happy to answer any individual questions you may have. Thank you. And vote Plancarte.
Thank you, Mr. Plancarte. Mrs. Camarena, 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Okay. I'd like to thank everyone for the opportunity to speak this night. I'd also like to state that the information that I'm giving is all factual. It's all here on the budget report. The article, like I found it, it's called California Policy Center, published September 16, 2016, where it names it there. I do have the paperwork of the $2,000 raise that was given to the Director of Child Support Services for a position that does not need to be an attorney to hold, but yet she was given that pay. So what I wanted to say is that I'm not a person who comes out accusatory. I come out with the facts. And what people like to do is to not state the truth, to be honest. And why I'm running is because I'm being the voice of not only employees who have asked me to run again, but also residents who just cannot continue to live under these conditions while we have a certain number of individuals who are privy to extreme salaries and are not functioning in a way that's beneficial to our county. We need someone who knows how the county works, someone that can be there full time. I will be there full time Monday through Friday, working Saturday, Sunday as well, and educate myself to ensure that every decision I make is for the best interests of our county. I also have stated that I cannot take a salary knowing that employees have not had a salary for 2.2 except that raise for I don't know how long. So I would donate 50 to 75% of my salary to nonprofit organizations and schools through the, if I'm elected, my whole term to ensure that everyone is getting the assistance that they need. And I want to make sure that we as also assist in our farming. I think it's important to bring it back, preserve our land. Solar is taking it up, and I'm not seeing long-term jobs here. And that's why the union support Mr. Plancarte. So I want you to consider me, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Caramarino. We wish to thank each of the candidates for your efforts tonight. Thank you to our audience for your participation. We ask that you please vote with your mail-in ballot or at the polls on November, on March 3rd. And thank you so much and good night.
You've been listening to the Board of Supervisors District 2 Candidates Forum. The forum was recorded Tuesday evening, February 11th at the IID Auditorium in El Centro. Podcast coverage is underwritten by CoLab of Imperial County and the Ivy Veg Growers. For the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio, this is Jared Onchondo reporting.